Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the differences between survival-based living and actualizing the spiritual life. Listen as we explore the hardships of human ignorance of the divine truth, which is omnipresent. In this show, we will discuss the value of outlining human development with points of passage and rites of passage as the stepping stone from intellect to spiritual consciousness. From John 10:10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live by grace and spiritual awareness. So on the title of today's show is Choosing the Easy Life Over the Lie. What do we mean by the easy life? And then what do we mean by the lie?
Well, I think that's what we want to talk about here is even though it seems like we have choices, you're going to find that neither one of them is easy. The life that most of us are living today is what we would call fear-based motivation, and it's rooted in the defense mechanism for the false sense of self. And it keeps us perpetuating the regressive cycle of death and rebirth. Whether we realize it or not, we're making a choice when we accept fear, limitation, and mortality as identity. And in this choice comes the kickback from the innate desire to be whole and complete. Spirit. We all want to return to that unified state. That's an archetype. It's a central theme, universal to every human being. And so if we decide to follow the fear-based motivation, this kickback comes. And the kickback is the love of God, which in the Old Testament was called the wrath of God, which will not allow denial of divine inheritance. So we can either survive, which means we chronologically age and psychologically, spiritually remain in an underdeveloped state, or we can grow. But in order to grow, we must initiate a process. Growth-based motivation does not happen instinctually. Humans have to be taught how to grow psychologically and spiritually. And this is where in earlier times and in the origins of most of our religions, there were points of passage and rites of passage. And of course, today we have none of this in our socialization. So we really have lost complete touch with the developmental process. And what we find collectively, this is really why we have problems. These problems are here to alert us to the consequences of our choices, which aren't really our choices, but the operations of a false sense of life with an expiration date. And so in this show, what I think we would want to try and do is start to uncover some of the benefits that come with what we will now call the easy life, choosing growth-based motivation, the benefits that come with accepting spiritual identity, being one, being conscious of the divine truth, which overrides the law of karma.
So we're talking about choosing the easy life. So it sounds like we have a choice that we can do that. So in our daily lives, what would be an example of when we choose the easy life?
An example of making this conscious choice, being under the influence of awareness of the divine creation, the outer picture must be filled with the divine qualities. So I would say look for peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance. These are the fruits of the Spirit. When you're no longer just living your life from your own personal efforts, that you are being guided from a force that is leading you through a path that is inundated with things like harmony. And not just something that's good for me on a personal level, but harmony that permeates everyone and everything that is in your consciousness. These would be some of the indicators you are living out from your divine self.
I just need maybe more clarification. So we had talked before on many other shows about karma. So how do we know that if we're having a good day, that it is because we have this connection to spirit? Or is it just good karma?
Yeah, this is stuff that you have to work out on your own. It's very easy to be conscious of world mind, being individualized by the world mind, and having relatively good experiences. The main difference is the divine experience is absolute goodness. It's not goodness that can become bad. There is this underlying peace that comes with the realization of the perfection of the one life. And that peace is what we really look for. Not the peace that is inundated with this chronic anxiety of when is it going to go down, but the peace that passes understanding, the one that is rooted in the truth. The only thing that exists is the perfection of the divine creation.
Another curiosity, early you had said about the kickback being the love of God, often called the wrath of God, which will not allow denial of divine inheritance. And about this allowing denial of divine inheritance, do you think humanity as a whole, that this is what we do? We are so unconscious, we are denying the love of God and we allow it? It's a very interesting concept to ponder.
Yeah, whether we realize it or not, by accepting mortality, by believing that you are a finite mortal being, you are denying your spiritual identity. And this is what we call crucifying the Christ within, which is the saving aspect of truth. Christ is not equated with Jesus. Jesus was the manifestation of Christ. But Christ is an eternal principle. And when we accept mortality, we deny our identity as the Son of God, as the reflection of the divine principle. And then we live outside of what was called the Father's house, outside of divine consciousness. And this is where we experience our problems.
So is it your opinion that you think that we would rather have the fruits of this material world than the fruits of the spiritual world? And that's why we are denying this divine inheritance?
Well, I think for most of us, it's just ignorance. We're unaware of what it would be like to live under the government of divine law, to be out of the jurisdiction of sickness, suffering, disease, lack, or limitation. We really don't have leadership. There's nobody out here today that is showing us a better way, which was the message of the Christ. That is what Jesus came here to show us. There is a better way than struggling, striving, planning, seeking, or even trying to improve this personal sense of life. The idea here is to give up the belief in a finite mortal being and accept that life is perfect. We don't have to make it perfect. That is under the jurisdiction of the creative principle. God is running a perfect universe right here and right now. Now, what we are calling life is our human mental material concept. It's a mental image about that divine creation. And we have to come out of the belief in that. And then we have this realization, which is what Jesus' healings were really all about, was revealing the divine creation is functioning.
So say we accept this spiritual identity. I'm sure there are other things that maybe we have to also be aware of. Are there things that we have to do?
Oh yeah, when we become aware of this option for spiritual identity, which is out of the limitations of fear and mortality, we learn there are requirements. Growth-based motivation may offer you a much better promise, but it's not going to be as easy as just saying, I'm spiritual. There are things that we can and we must do to meet the requirements. And Jesus gave us a lot of that in the Bible, where he said, unless a man be born again of truth and spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does it look like when I am born of spirit? Because we know what it looks like when we're born of human flesh. We look for food, we look for mother, we look for approval. Now, when you're born of spirit, now you are now looking for what is invisible and intangible to your corporeal senses. And the idea of to love God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength really means you don't just think about this divine creative principle. You are one with it. So we have to put off the old man. We must purify ourselves physically, mentally, conceptually, in order to be receptive to the frequency of the divine creation.
So you're saying that we have to be worthy of this level of consciousness?
Truth will not reveal itself and its secrets to an unworthy opponent. This was why they had the hero's journey. Why we have rituals, ceremonies, ordeals, ascetic practices, in order to change ourselves physically and mentally. It was what we call the Martha Wilcox lesson, that we had to learn to be faithful and orderly with the objects of sense in order to be receptive to the deeper things of the divine principle. See, divine truth is right here. And it is pure consciousness, and it's functioning, but it is looking for its counterpart. And we must be able to achieve the silence and the stillness, because the language of spirit is silence. The activity of spirit is stillness. And we must be able to replicate that, not just the absence of noise and the lack of movement, but to maintain that level of consciousness, which is invisible and intangible to material sense.
Swami, you had mentioned earlier about these points of passage and rites of passage. I'm hoping we can discuss that maybe a little bit further as to how that gets us from intellect to this spiritual consciousness we've been talking about.
Yeah, I really like what we do in our Theory 1 class, where we map out the points of passage and the rites of passage. And we use astrology to help us with that. We use the cycle of the progressed moon and transiting Saturn, which is on approximately every 7, 7.5 year cycle, that the actual planet in the sky will go 90 degrees to the natal position every 7, 7.5 years. And also the progressed moon is on a very similar pattern. And these were the principles of manifestation. And so marking them out with rituals, ceremonies, ordeals, ascetic practices gives assistance to it. So say, for example, at age 7, a human being reaches what we would call the age of reason, that it is no longer appropriate for them to be emotional, reactive, controlled by their feelings, that they had to engage intelligence in their decision-making. Now, we know that you can't do this just with instruction. And so they had things like fasting that you did. There were ascetic practices. There were also physical activities, physical exercises that you might do to build yourself up physically, to be mentally strong enough to be able to make decisions that were in accordance with universal order. We had a moral code that we lived by. Now, of course, all of this is missing, and collectively what we're doing is we're surviving, but we're not growing.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor, so listeners will be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, could you explain to us how the study of Kriya Yoga would help us in learning how to be in this spiritual identity?
You know, we have something on the website. On the About page, there is a small video that I thought maybe we could play that would give you an idea of exactly what it is that we offer and how it could be applied to what we're talking about here. I'll play it.
We are the fox minding the henhouse. When you are teaching a discipline that is rooted in non-injury, non-lying, non-stealing, non-greed, and non-sensuality, and not just behavioral modification, but literally becoming virtuous, individuals become the change you want to see. Principle-centered behavior trickles down into everything you feel, think, say, and do. Here at IPD, we teach a samadhi-based Kriya Yoga, which is a complete holistic health management system. We break it down into practices and a process. The practices are a path of action, a path of knowledge, and a path of devotion. And we recognize that these practices are designed to do something, initiate a process in human development. This process has an evidence procedure where the individual goes from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness. The term is called apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. It all starts with educating an individual in how to separate from a very limited source of sustenance and how to reconnect to a more reliable and dependable resource. How to get out of fear and limitation and join with truth and wholeness. How to use what is really needed as a symbol for validation. This internal connection gives a person the benefit of self-reliance and independence. which enables the conscious mind and mental functions to operate clearer, with intelligence and not emotion. How to become a human in the adult state? Humans in the adult state are virtuous and principle-centered because they have a broader sense of awareness and know what they put out is what they get back. When America was founded, we were one nation under God. We were the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now that money has become our false god, we are the land of the addicted and the home of the terrorized. Stand in fear and you stand to lose. Humans in the larvae state are self-absorbed, emotional, and needy. The benefits that come with a resource-based economy eliminate all the unnecessary anxiety that can come with a solely monetary-based economy, simply by making it smaller. Connection to spirit changes the exchange of energy a person has with their environment. And when you are drawing from something that is pure, powerful, sacred, and inexhaustible, you can give unconditionally. Come and get the light in your soul. Light in the soul, beauty in the person. Beauty in the person, harmony in the home. Harmony in the home, honor in the nation. Honor in the nation, peace in the world. This is how we are impacting the world with conscious business practices. Namaste.
Yeah, at some point you come to the realization that what we're doing isn't working. And then you look for something and you really want something that's tried and true. There are a lot of self-help systems that are out there made by humans, geared mostly towards getting more of the pleasures and profits out of the human experience. But to find true solution, you really have to learn how to transform.
How is that applicable to John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy? I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Yeah, when you start to understand that the thief that he is talking about is the mental material concept that we're calling life, the false sense of life, then you can start to see what he means by the parable of the good shepherd, because he's really not talking about being a good human being. And to understand the parable, you really have to have an understanding of this process that we're talking about, because it is only the good shepherd that the sheep follow, and not the robber or the thief. The shepherd is the divine self, and the sheep are the operations of the divine truth. And Mary Baker Eddy wrote in Principle and Practice, and I'll read it. It is the healer's understanding of the operation of the divine principle and his application thereof, which heals the sick, just as it is one's understanding of the principle of mathematics, which enables him to demonstrate its rules. End of quote. Jesus gave a parable to explain the operations and application of the divine principle with the good shepherd. However, to understand the divine self, the Christ, one must have been reborn of the spirit, awakened from the belief in matter, and resting in the truth. The operations of the divine principle is the power of one. One without opposite, one perfect, unchanging, eternal life.
Because we are in this world of duality, I think it would be challenging for most of us to understand this principle of the power of one, because right now we're living in a world of two-ness.
Right, and isn't that why Jesus said, I will leave this world and go to the Father? We have to come out of the belief in duality. And for most of us, I think that's going to be a real stretch to think what is appearing in my physical senses isn't there. But with the help of science, science is really backing what Mary Baker Eddy discovered. They're saying, when Einstein was on the planet, when people weren't looking at things, that they were there. Well, now they're saying that what we're calling reality is observation dependent. And then the other thing is this idea of how we think is what we become. Well, science is saying it is the observer that sets the measurement for what is called the collapse of the wave function, which it is the observer that determines what it is that they're going to see. Whatever you believe you're going to see is what you perceive. Now, what science has not come up with is what Mary Baker Eddy understood, is that there are modes of thinking. And to come out of the three modes of mortal thought and then allow divine mind to take over the scientific government of your body. Because when spirit is cause, creation is perfect. And there isn't anything that we can do humanly that could match the perfection of that divine mind.
So going back to John 10:10, when Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, when Jesus is saying that they might have life, he's really telling you that what you're calling life isn't life at all. And in Revelations, they talk about the second death, that this birth into matter is really your death to your true self, your spiritual identity. And we have to rebirth ourselves in spirit. And the idea here is, as he also says, that we want to do it during the day, because soon it will be nighttime when no one can work. The idea of doing this while you are still in a physical body. Spiritually, the concept of day is that period of existence when you have a corporeal body, when you have a material concept. Nighttime is after the physical body expires, that period when you are out of physical form, and most of us are looking to be reborn again in physical form. But it's very important to understand that we must do this while it is day, while we are still in the physical body, in order to gain the benefit that Scripture calls liberation or freedom.
And then explain more about what he means when he says they might have it more abundantly. I'm sure he's not talking about the pleasures of our material world. So what does he mean by that?
Well, he's talking about life. Eternal life is way more abundant than this finite mortal concept of life. There's no expiration on spirit. Spirit is out of time. It's out of space. There's no limitation. And the idea of the good shepherd. And then he talks about, "I am the door." And the door is really that realization that there is but one life, eternal life, and it's everywhere. It's not limited to time, space, concept, belief. It's not limited to matter, form. It doesn't exist in human thinking. There's no animal magnetism there. There's no fear-based motivation, and there's no human will. It is just pure, unadulterated life.
Well, I'm going to close down our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, when you see the Fading Banner Blog Talk Radio, click it, directs you to its catalog page. Click the products tab, then online classes, directs you all the classes that Swami has available. Any final thoughts about today's show, Swami?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and live by grace in spiritual awareness. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.